Hello.
Hey there.
Hey.
Welcome to episode 174 of Come Get Your Podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
I'm Dustin.
I'm Chris.
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Doing okay.
Doing all right. Happy it's the weekend.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Apparently I need some of your fucking energy because Jesus Christ, I am so low right now.
I don't have a lot of energy. I can just like, I don't know. It comes and goes, man. You know, I'm tired. I am. I didn't sleep well. You know, kind of one of those like I could fake it pretty well, people. But it leaves my battery very drained.
Normally I can, but not today.
Well, you've been up to like 5 in the morning, man. I can't blame you. I can message, we get a message from you like 9 in the morning. Hey, I'm up, by the way, guys, if you guys record. I'm like, I just woke up.
Yeah, I was up since 5:30, and then I had also just finished working 12 days in a row. So I'm fucking tired.
I bet.
And then like, and the shitty part about this is I not once this entire in the span of this 12 days was I up at 5:30 for work or anything like that. I was waking up at my normal time of like 8:15.
I will never understand the brain doing that.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I'm glad it's the weekend at least. So like, I've enjoyed my Saturday morning for the most part, other than just being dog ass tired.
But it's like in that same frame, like when I have to get up for work, I'm like so exhausted. I can't do it. I'm like so tired. Yep. I don't want to get up. But then it's like Saturday and I'm like an hour that I normally get up for work. I'm like, hey, wake up, by the way. Get up and go. It's like, no, fuck you. I want to sleep, man. Let me get some sleep.
Oh, yeah.
I actually get to maximize my day off.
Hey.
I don't know. I'm with you. I got up at 7:30 this morning. I just like woke up. Just woke up. Dogs wanted to get up. I was like, all right, well, this is happening.
I got up before my dog did.
Damn. Did you wake him up? That isn't funny. Did you jump on him?
No.
Wake up.
Just gotten in his face.
Yeah. Licked his face.
You motherfucker. Oh, he's got to go to the vet next week. I found a lump on his body.
Oh.
No.
I'm pretty sure it's just like a fatty...
Yeah,
like a fatty one. It's on the same. It's in a spot that labs notoriously get him, and like he's honestly, we noticed it like over a week ago. He is fine.
Yeah,
running around exactly like normal. So
yeah, I had last month. Got 100 vet appointments in. God, pets are expensive, man.
Fucking tell me
but worth it. But worth it, you know, for sure. And on the left side of her ovaries, she has a lot of fatty tumors. And the vet's like, you can't get it biopsied. And we could, you know, it could lead into this. And she could get surgery to get them removed. But she's like, 9 times out of 10, it's nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, I'm like weighing the options. I'm like, man, that's because she's like, if we had to remove him, she's like, I couldn't do it here. You'd have to go to an actual surgeon, you know, and get that done. And I'm like, God damn, that's probably really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, nothing's stopping her. She's still the same. She's still like, you know, her perfect self. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Looking at me.
She's like, reach for that treat bag, dude.
It's like, have you ever seen that when I've streamed? Oh, and just like touch it and like her ears just like perk up. Like I just move my hand over there and she's like, yeah,
she knows. No. Literally, I have some treat bags in my office and I accidentally brushed one and then like thought nothing of it, and then not even 20 seconds later I turn around, Rose was like, head is like peeking around my door and is like, what you got?
Yeah, I heard the crinkle.
I know that. I know that noise.
I know that noise well.
So I had to pay the debt.
You gotta pay the dog. Yeah, that's the same way I make make eggs. I use cheese. I gotta pay the cheese debt. I don't make the rules.
Time.
I just follow them.
Every
cheese tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever seen that like that TikTok or video of the kid eating, like the mom or dad putting whipped cream in, like ready whip in the kid's mouth, and then the kid points to the dog, like him next.
Like, hey, my bro over here, man.
I'm making my bro eat some too.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, things are going okay. You know, since we last, I can't remember. I don't think I beat Rebirth when we last talked. So I beat Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great game. So good. Leagues, in my opinion, leagues better than the first one. And I liked the first one, but they made so many better improvements on Rebirth, mm-hmm. which was nice. And for the majority of the game, it really follows the storyline pretty well. You know, so it's like Remake was kind of, they changed some things around. It was kind of, people thought like it was conflicted.
Felt a little different. Yeah.
You know, but in this one, it's really following the path, and obviously having like different things that you do, and you know, different stories, and you know, overarching, you know, I'll tell you, I like Fort Condor a lot better in this one than I did in the original game.
yeah
a little
easier to maneuver.
I hated Fort Condor in the original game. It sucked. But I'm also not like a big fort defense, like or tower defense person. You know, those games are like meh to me. But yeah, it was great. And then I finally got around to beating the DLC for Cyberpunk, and holy shit,
dude! That game. I told you that game is. It's like the DLC is so different from the rest of the game.
It was
it's a spy thriller, man.
It was at the end of the show. I was like, am I fucking in a Jason Bourne movie right now?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's so awesome. You're like, oh, this is what I want.
But I highly recommend it to anyone who hasn't played it. And we were just talking even before we started recording, but like just a 2.0 update in general. It's just a whole different game.
Completely.
A whole different game. The only thing I had to look up for Cyberpunk, because like I kept doing those stupid car missions to like steal a car, and I was like, how many of these motherfuckers are there? And it's like, they're like, yeah, they don't end. And I'm like, well, yeah. I'm glad I looked it up, because I kept doing them.
Just
like,
kept doing them.
I'm like, I don't need to do these.
Yeah, I do a couple of those. It's like, usually if like I also like, I don't know, I've replayed through it again, and like the DLC again, not recently, I think sometime last year. And it was kind of the same thing where I was like, I know they recommended, you're like, I know I'd seen recommendations of saying like, hey, try to beat the game or get near the end of the game before you start the DLC. And now, like the second time I played it, it was like, as you know, where you kind of initiate where it starts, there is a nice element of starting the DLC before you get terribly, terribly far necessarily in the campaign for some reasons. I don't want to give away anything because there is a case to be made for finishing certain things that will help you within the DLC, right?
Yeah.
As you know.
Well, I'm very glad they didn't have you be able to jump into the DLC right away, because like, correct, that shit would have been crazy hard.
Nuts. But then it's also nice that like with your car stealing missions, like you grab it, then you leave, and you're like back in Night City, and then you can just like go back in. So it's like, there is an element, like if you do play it again, Chris, where it's like you don't necessarily have to jump into the DLC where like at the end if you want to wait too terribly long. Like you can kind of see how far you need to go before jumping in. But it's actually really fun to like layer it in with the rest of the game as you're going back and forth.
Because when I played it before, and we had talked about this before, but like when the DLC came out, I was like, I want to start Cyberpunk over, and I did it. Mm-hmm. And then, we went to Austin for Colin's wedding and Spider-Man 2. And it's like, I literally got to the DLC, like the entry point of it. And then I left. But when I was able to go to the DLC finally, I went to it right away.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, good.
But I didn't want to like jump into my current game previously right into the DLC because of all the 2.0 changes and everything. And I'm like, I want to kind of experience this again. And plus, I fucking love doing it, the street kid, starting out as a street kid. In my opinion, it's the best way to start out Cyberpunk. So
you're talking as the intro mission?
Yeah, like your background being a street kid, that intro mission. I love Jackie's character, I love their dynamic and everything. So it's like I just wanted to do that again for my sake.
Yeah, I think Nomad's probably a distant third for me.
They're all good. You know, I like the starting mission of Nomad. yeah. like how you do that. But like the rest of Nomad, I'm like, meh. Like Street Kid, I think as you play the game more and more, there's so many of those Street Kid options that come into play better, in my opinion, than like the Corpo or the Nomad.
I still think there's quite a bit Corpo. I think there's some great Corpo responses, but I agree. I usually, it depends on like the kind of build I want to bring to it. For some reason, when I sit here and go, man, I want to be kind of stealthy with a katana and maybe some throwing knives and stuff, I just feel Corpo feels better. But if I'm like, want to beat this like handgun, you know, San Deviston, running through, maybe punching people, blunt, like Street Kid all the way, like just loud. I don't know. It's like an interesting... Doesn't have any effect on the game. It's just like a weird, like internal, like, oh, it just feels that
I love the idea of Corpo the best. Like, you're up on the top of the world. You're a big executive in the corporate life in Cyberpunk.
Climbing the ladder,
doing those things, being shady. And then all of a sudden you get just knocked down to square one and you got to start over. Like, there's just, I love those kind of game styles. That's what I'm hoping for, like Grand Theft Auto 6. Not necessarily like you get knocked down from high, but I love like starting from nothing and rising up. And that's why I loved like Grand Theft Auto 4 more than 5 because you are nothing. You're a little immigrant coming in from Russia and you're starting with nothing, entry level shit. 5, you were like already kind of established in ways.
Franklin was nothing.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have Franklin's got nothing, but I think like to your
point.
But
Franklin was nothing,
like,
but Franklin ramped up so fast.
Well, and plus you could just switch to Michael, who's got a mansion, right? Exactly. He's already got stuff. Yeah. But like once you get Trevor, even Trevor's not like, it seems like Trevor's got nothing, but like he's choosing to just live that way. And he's clearly got
stuff. He is a part of the prologue.
I understand. Yeah, I understand all that. And you're right. Franklin technically starts out with nothing, but I think he just, like, in my opinion, ramped up so quickly in his story about, like, Nico in 4.
Yeah, it wasn't like 4.
He works for this cousin and, you know, and
gonna go bowling.
Starts these stupid missions, you know, to start with, and it just, like, kind of ramps up from there. And then he gets the really good contacts and stuff like that. Plus, I just love, like, the New York aesthetic and the mafia tie-ins and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always Grand Theft Auto to me, personally, but...
Yeah. I feel like even, like, Vice City was similar to that, right? Like, you... You're not, you kind of start lower. I mean, but it's similar, like mob.
You were a mob. You're Tommy Vercetti. You just got out of prison.
Yeah.
They sent you to basically to get you out of the way, is what I remember at least. Like, hey, go look into this down there, and then basically he just gets, you know, Ray Liotta, you know, rest in peace. takes it upon himself to be like, oh, you guys don't have a good grasp down here, and you guys really aren't present here, so I'm taking over. You know, very, very Scarface-esque, of course.
Scarface style, yeah.
but also
fantastic influence on that game.
Oh, I think so. I mean, 100%. Yeah.
100%.
I haven't watched that movie in a while.
Not for a long time.
Mm-mm. But yeah, that's very, very much, nightclub. Mm-hmm. You basically run that nightclub. Yeah, it's like a whole, I love that game.
So I'm looking forward to, you know, 6, obviously, along with like a billion other people, of course. But
do you start with nothing in San Andreas? I've never played San Andreas, but do you start just like with nothing in San Andreas?
You also get out of prison.
Do you also get out of prison in Helen?
Isn't that when he comes back?
Well, I don't know if he got out of prison, but he came back from New York because he's working with the mafia people from 3. And then he comes, because his mom dies. His mom gets murdered. And he comes back to San Andreas.
For some reason, I thought he was in prison out in whatever New York is in that game.
Maybe. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, he basically starts out with nothing, but he had at one time a reputation there. So people like knew of him, but like people looked at him as like, man, you've changed, you left, you know, all this stuff. So but then that game quickly went from like that kind of story, like real story, to like Saints Row kind of shit.
Really?
It was just fucking nuts.
Okay.
Saints Row came out after San Andreas.
No. I know that. But that's the best way I can explain it for most people.
Oh,
you know?
Akin to that? Okay.
Yeah. Like, I know that San Andreas came out first.
guy, like, you have to, like, control territory a lot, take over territory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's rival gangs.
Yeah. Like, there's a jetpack. There's just, like, really wild characters that came out, you know?
I always remember seeing some mission where you're riding on a bike, chasing a train.
That's the infamous one.
Yeah, and people are like, it just, the controls or whatever, like, it just, the way it was set up is, like, so frustrating and annoying. It'd that, like,
probably be yeah. easier now.
I'm assuming they fixed but it. I don't know what the
D-pad was.
A bit tough.
I remember seeing, like, somebody basically getting rid of the fog of war for San Andreas to really show you how close these cities were, and it, like, basically, like, ruined my childhood.
Oh, when you see that picture of them, like, up on the mountain, and you look out, it's like, you see the whole map, and you're like, oh, boy.
They're that close, dude. These things, like, miles apart.
Beauty of game dev design with Fog of War is how much they're able to hide to make it feel like they are actually super far apart. So
Silent Hill, right? Yeah. Then they did the remake or remaster, and it's like, then you could see. You're like, ugh. It's like, they had the fog because they didn't have the power to show you everything all at once.
Without the game crashing.
It's a happy accident, you know?
Yeah.
San Andreas is, I liked it better than Vice City.
Yeah?
I think I played it more than, because, like, yeah, they add a lot of cool shit and stuff. So I think I probably played San Andreas way more than Vice City, for sure.
Tried to 100%, or I guess it would take, I think it's like 105 or 110% San Andreas before, like, trophies even existed.
Yeah.
I just remember so much fun.
I just remember being, like, seeing Las Vegas, like, their Las Venturas, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, showing my parents, because, like, my dad, like, always wanted to go to Vegas. I was like, basically, look how cool, it's basically Vegas. Like, you could just go here.
You reload it up, and you're like, oof.
Oof, this is
like
rough.
Six buildings.
This isn't Vegas at all.
If I have a jetpack, but I want to go.
Yeah. God, I can remember really enjoying Vice City, just like that Miami Vice feel, the Scarface feel. But, like, yeah, I'm sure if we reloaded it up, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this the graphics have got to be, you know, the blockiest.
They did the trilogy again, and it went over so well.
Yeah. They fixed that now, haven't they?
Mostly, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, mostly. That's how I could play San Andreas.
I think Rockstar actually had to step in, though, right? I think,
they did.
They did?
Yeah, they did.
I mean, I could play San Andreas that way. I'm sure it's playable.
I just remember playing a lot of 3, loving 3, and then Vice City came out, and it was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like basically loading up, playing the entry, and then get into a car, and you turn the radio on, and then fucking Billie Jean comes on. You're like, what?
Yep.
And it was like, hell yeah. It's so silly. That's like my thing I look forward to the most. Like, people talking about Six Lake Story and everything. I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. But, like, what's going to be on their radio? That's what I'm like.
I 1,000%, dude. That's all. I want to know what their music selection is going to be.
Five did, like, it was good, but it wasn't that good, the music selection. You know what I mean? Like, when it hit, but, like, there's so much on there now. Like, there's a lot of misses.
Yeah. Replaying through when I was streaming 5 or 4, what I did enjoy, right? Like, I agree, like, the Bill Hader, the Jason Sudeikis, like, radio host banter back and forth was great. But something about 5, there's a couple stations in GTA 5 that are just, like, great. That I've added songs to playlists. Like, Radio Gaga is in a playlist for sure, and it's just from listening to the classic rock channel in GTA 5.
Hey. Yeah, I remember loving San Andreas as, like, classic rock station, because they had it was Axl Rose. Yeah, they had, like, Tom Petty, Running on a Dream. They had Fog, like, Slow Ride by Fog, whatever their band name is.
Foghat.
Foghat. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. I think Depeche Mode. I think San Andreas probably had the best radio, in my opinion.
I think it did too.
Like I'm gonna pull up a wiki page on this shit right now just to show you. And I would always listen to the classic rock one typically, that or the rap one. Like K Rose, no, that's your classic one. K Dust is their hosted
K-Dust.
By
K Dust.
Yeah. So here's just a list of songs. You know, Slow Ride by Foghat, mm-hmm. Green River by Clearance, Clearwater Revival, Barracuda by Heart, Strutter by Kiss, Hold the Line by Toto, Young Turks, Rod Stewart, Running Down a Dream, Tom Petty, Woman to Woman by Joe Crocker, Some Kind of Wonderful by Grand Funk Railroad, Free Bird, Lynyrd Skynyrd, A Horse with No Name by America. I don't like that song at all. Eminence Front by The Who, Smokin' by Boston, Two Tickets to Paradise by Eddie Money, and White Wedding by Billy Idol. The fuck? Jesus Christ. Station was amazing. That was
just one station.
Just one station.
95% of it was amazing.
My gosh. So this is the one I haven't played, and I'm missing out.
Yeah,
exactly. That's radio. Damn it.
Yeah, oh. It was. I rarely listen to any other radio station in there. You know, if I happen to like come across a song on another station that I was like, hell yeah, I want to listen to this, like Hollywood Swingin' by Kool and the Gang.
Yes.
I love to listen to that, or Love Roller Coaster by Ohio Players. Like, I would switch to that. But often I would be.
Stick to the classic.
Uh huh. Because, like even the rap station, it was obviously like early 90s, like hip hop, clearly. And there's still only like one song, like two songs actually, I would say, that I was like, I would always want to listen to. And I was like, Nothing But a G Thing by Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, obviously. And then mm-hmm. La Raza by Kid Frost, just because it fit the aesthetic of the game so of the well. Game.
I mean, the West Coast classics and GTA 5 was nice.
Yes.
But I mean, I think they just had a bigger selection of that, essentially.
Agreed.
Wasn't California in that one? In San Andreas?
I don't see it in there, at least. I'm looking at the station. I'm trying to find other ones.
Well, there was a Tupac song on there. I just can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, it's I Don't Give a Fuck by Tupac.
Oh, that's right.
That was funny. I don't. That's a song I'm like mad about. But yeah, then they had Radio X, which is like their alternative rock. But you had like Cult of Personality by Living Color.
Oh,
fucking still a banger. Personal Damn. Jesus by Depeche Mode. Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses. Rusty Cage by Soundgarden. Killing in the Name by Rage and the Machine. Plush by Stone Temple Pilots. Like, Dusty, you missed out.
Dude, I'm sitting here going, motherfucker. I'm going to go get that. Legendary whatever it is, and play
San Andreas. Got Faith No More and Danzig.
I fucking love it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm. Soundgarden's in there. Like,
speaking my language over here.
Shane's Addiction. Oh,
then he had Master Sound Station, which is groove Alice. And classic funk. Jane. And they had like Low Rider by War. Express Yourself. Express Yourself.
I mean, like, it's got Poison from Belle Biv DeVoe. I mean, come on.
I know, right? I did miss that one.
I feel like we're getting robbed now on the GTA. That's why 5 I'm like, radio.
That's why I'm like, yeah, like that's why it's like there is some good songs on GTA 5's radio, but it's not like Adam nailed it. Where it's like when it hits, but most of the time it's like meh.
Right. There's one or two stations, their classic rock station, it was
hitting a majority of the time.
Three out of like the six like music stations in San Andreas are all good.
All good. Yeah, and you have like 20 of them in GTA 5, and there's like two that you listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
And 60 to 70% of the classic rocks are good.
But then we'll go to like even 4, because I remember 4 having like some decent stations.
Yeah, 4 wasn't bad. I just felt like, I felt like I was saying, I think the bits were the best part of the radio as opposed to the music necessarily. Not that the music was bad. But it did feel like it was less than GTA 5 somehow. So,
yeah, because even their station did well. Like they had like their rock station again. This is like what I primarily listened to when I would play. It was like 1979 by Smashing Pumpkins, Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks, Evil Woman by ELO, Goodbye Horses, Q Lazarus, I Want to Be Your Dog by the Stooges. The Seeker by The Who, Rocky Mountain Way by John Walsh. I mean, I could just keep on naming them songs, but it's great. Like they did very well.
And a lot it had early Kanye.
And it had Flashing Lights. That's where I discovered that song, actually. I was like, what is this? That's about it. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to knowing what radio stations are gonna, or what songs are going to be on. But also the bits and stuff too, like 100%. Because like, I wish I never listened to the bits in four, honestly. I never got, like, I never listened to it. And so now I kind of regret that.
Bill Hader and Jason Sudeikis fucking killed it. Like,
Yeah. So once I keyed into them being in there, every time I jumped in the car, I was like, that's the station I want to listen to because I want to hear these idiots do whatever bit they're doing. And I was like, that was the best part. What I want them to be able to do is like, where I could stop and go to like the Ricky Gervais or the Cat Williams like, comedy show. Oh, like I want to be able to go into places and do stuff and like feel like a lived in world where it's like five. It was like, you can go rob a, you know, gas station and that's about it. There's really nothing to go into.
I think you could go like see a movie.
You could see and
yeah, but oh, I guess you could. See, yeah, they had the theater. I guess,
but yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like you could, you could play tennis and golf and stuff like that. But like, the more realistic points of that were like in four, you're actively going on a date with somebody or hanging out.
Correct.
Because your cousin wants to go bowling, you know, and all the fucking time he wants to go fucking, dude, I don't want to go bowling.
Going and getting food. Shit like that. I don't know why
he wants to lose every time.
Yeah, right.
Like, so you're the only person I've seen play that game that like actively kept going bowling and shit with
me.
I was like, I don't want to do this.
I'd be like, let me call it. Yeah, we want to go bowling. Let's go bowling. Fuck it, let's go do it. Hey man, I had fun.
Four is great. Four is probably my favorite GTA game, I think, single player wise. Obviously, you know, I never played the multiplayer in four, but
I played a lot of the multiplayer in four, and it was, I mean, obviously, like, five is what it is because of four's multiplayer, but like, it was definitely like the start. But it was still,
you can see where they were. Yeah,
they also had fucking banger DLC.
It was very good.
It's a shame. I mean, I understand why Grand Theft Auto 5 went, you know, fully online. Obviously, that's fucking just like a money printing machine for them.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't give up on the single player on six, you know, like they did with Red Dead. It's showing signs that they're not going to care about the single player. But
you know they're not. It's fucking Take Two. They're not going to give a shit about the single player after hopeful. It's done.
I mean, I hope we have the same level of like the little things that they're focusing on, like in Red Dead 2, like just being impressed with like the detail. But yeah, it would be nice if you don't just give us what the single player campaign is going to be and then focus all your efforts on, because you know GTA 6 online is going to be
bonkers.
They're going to focus so heavily on that it's going to be like they want it to continue printing money.
Well, I hope that they don't have to do too much with the online in 6, because like Grand Theft Auto 5 is basically like from scratch, and there's so many changes that they did throughout the years. Like, I mean, you guys remember when that first came out, like you couldn't even like log in basically.
Yeah,
you're stuck in the clouds all the time.
Days.
Oh, I still expect the server issues for a bit, regardless.
But I mean, like, not like the server issues aside, like that's probably going to happen 100%. But like, the core is there because of how much over the years with five that they've worked on it, mastered it, all that shit. I'm hoping that they won't have to do the same thing for six to that same level, you know.
I'm prepared for it.
Yeah. And you're also going to see, like,
hope for the best, expect the worst.
Well, and just what I don't want to see is just like, here, $120. Here's your criminal starter pack. And that's like,
that's the fucking thing. Like, six is like, it's new Grand Theft Auto. Of course, it's exciting, but like, they need to convince me to buy their game at this point. Like, I will skip the single player. I don't like, I'm so tired of their bullshit.
I'm probably gonna buy it. That kind of game has got my interest. Like I always enjoy them. So online is hit or miss, you know, depending. Like I've had fun with Grand Theft Auto 5 online, of course, but I still enjoyed 5's, you know, single player game and 4's single player game and things like that. So like, there's a great chance that I'm gonna be buying it for sure.
Yeah, and I loved Red Dead 2's campaign, even if I didn't care for the online that much.
I think it was good eventually, but then they just gave up on it. So it's just like, all right, well.
Yeah.
It's too little, too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And if they
just kept, yeah.
The criminal starter pack, I'm fine with something like that years down the road.
That's what I mean. I just don't want it right away.
It doesn't need to be right away. Yeah. You know, if it's like 3 years down the road, they're like, hey, we're introducing this for people that are newer to the game and like, you know, kind of want to start off with online with like a little step up, you know, get a little even playing ground with the other players. Cool. But yeah, I don't like that. I don't want to have that stuff right away. But they probably will, though.
Hopefully we find out this summer more about it. But like if that RP stuff that they bought, it's going to be integrated. Like they're going to have a boost pack. You know,
yeah, kind of. Yep.
Hey, man, I hope not, because they're only thinking about money, so they probably will, because it will get them a lot of money, I'm sure. But
if it was a different studio, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, not these guys.
They care about money. Not the
people. Not the people who are in charge of making these kinds of decisions.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, they're a business, so of course, but like, still. One of the least consumer-friendly businesses out there.
We'll see. I mean, yeah. I just don't want them to just... I don't know. Them giving up on single-player stuff is, expansions that they in the original plan. Like,
they're going to have more than enough, I feel like, single-player stuff to tide most people over, but... I feel it was like a 65-35 split between at launch of single player versus multiplayer. I think that's flipped for this one.
Well, I did like that they eventually, maybe, with the online, they did bring in like they had a Franklin, you know, his thing online, which was cool. You know, it was interesting to see the characters in the main game like still go on
compromise. Well, and if you ever did the original heists, like in the third or fourth one, Trevor shows up.
Yeah.
So like you're like surprised by that, and you're like, oh shit. That's like, and I think for me, that was the first time that one of the, obviously the story characters all of a sudden just popped into the online, and it was like, whoa,
because Trevor's here. Wasn't it online at the start? Wasn't it like set like before the events
of
the game?
That's Red Dead 2.
Okay.
Online. That's like a year before the game. Okay.
Five was... I don't think it really gave a date, but...
I feel like it's after?
I want to say it's after, because Leonard...
Right?
It's Leonard, right? The dude with the glasses and the cane.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Yeah.
Pretty close to the beginning of it. And
it says the game was initially set a few months prior to the events of Grand Theft Auto V.
Yeah.
But with the gun running update that came in 2017, it changed it to years after the
game. Yep. Because now Franklin's much older.
Yeah, because I'm like, I remember like it being like you didn't see a lot of characters, you know, and that's why Trevor showing up is like, oh, that's weird, because like in the game, you could kill him, you know, or Michael. So it's like it makes sense why only Franklin has his own story, because he lives no matter what. I believe. I don't think
I he thought can die. There was a thing Franklin could die, but it was like a really low chance. Like you'd have to go out of your way to do it.
That I don't know.
It's possible. I'm sure. There's.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's possible. I haven't
played it in a long time.
But. I haven't either.
But yeah, I know Red Dead for sure was before.
Yep.
You know, yep. 10 years or whatever. But we'll see. The online gives them the potential to keep on going with that story, so I understand what they do. I just hated trying to do the online stuff and then constantly just getting blown up
all the time. That's every Rockstar multiplayer.
Yep.
They changed it recently, right? Like,
where you GTA private server? Yeah, GTA 5 online now, like, you could do a private server, you could run all your businesses. They finally let you do that. And it's like, kind of like what Adam said, a little too late, at least for me, where it's like...
Same.
Because there was a bit there where there was a few of us who really got into some of that online business and just like doing some of that extra stuff that we'd never done. Yeah. Redoing heists, doing the new heists, doing new things. But it was like, it was always annoying that you had to try to like find a low populated server so you just didn't get fucked with. And like now you can do it on your own. So it's like,
their mom's credit card's been, bought a shark card in the flying fucking motorcycle.
Now he's got a jet bike. Yeah. Although eventually all of us had enough money that we had jet bikes too. And then it was like, I feel like I got messed with less.
I mean, we would just mess with each other. Rarely would it be like a random person messing with us. Right. But there would be the times when we were doing the business stuff and trying to do that, and
people would just
you're like, you gotta take the transport this from here to here. It's like, okay, but it's like, you got a target on your back.
They had nothing to combat it. Like they do now. Like you can, there's a lot of different things you can defend yourself against that jet bike. Like there's like,
oh,
here you go.
Yeah.
We're not going to balance this at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, then they eventually implemented things like where you could like pay a little extra and you'd be like a ghost organization. Then you wouldn't show up on the map and blah, blah, blah. And then it was just like, just give us our own servers. And now we have it. And it's like that you could do that. But like, I haven't had the game installed since gaming day.
There's last year.
I was like, I just install it.
There's no part of me outside of the gaming day that I'm wanting to play Grand Theft Auto 5. Mm-hmm. You know, and even on the gaming day, it's like a couple hours and I'm like, all right. You know, but I enjoy doing like the sniper versus stunters and all that goofy fun. Like, there's some always just such crazy moments, you know, in those games.
Finding the new races is fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. That was a good time.
But yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, I have no interest in. I'd rather drive around Night City.
100%.
You know, yeah, if I want to do that. But I am interested to see what GTA, like just what the map will be like, what will Vice City be like, you know, how big it will be. Some of these added things, just like, I would love it if like we did get a GTA 6 online and it was like, hey, you can have private servers immediately if you want.
One would hope.
Something tells me they won't give that to us, which sucks, but you know what I mean? No, like,
or they will, but it's going to be like Fallout first.
Yeah.
Where you got to pay a $10 a month fee.
And out of principle, I wouldn't do that.
No, just I wouldn't either. No.
Just out of a fuck you. But if we were to get something like that, then I'd be much more inclined to be like, oh, thank God, right away. Let's just jump on and see what is here to look at. But
that's what hopefully will have that, because they did just put that stuff into 5 not that long ago. So part of me is like, why wouldn't they put it into the 6? That's the hopeful part of my brain. The other part of my brain that's more logical is like, no, because they got to monetize that somehow. So
I mean, Bethesda did it, so why not?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Bethesda did do it. That's why I said they did it with first. So
Katie will hate this, but it's like every Sims game that comes out. Like,
oh yeah.
Sims 4, it's like she'll tell me about these updates that come out, and it's like, didn't they have that in Sims 3? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then why was it not in 4 when it launched? But now that you're paying extra expansions to get, toddlers, and you're like, did they not have toddlers before? What the fuck are we talking about? Did you not have pools? What's happening? What happened to the stairs? You know what I mean?
And the thing is that the people that they're, you know, being a pariah on are not people like us necessarily. It's the people that are such casual gamers that love these games, just like get on a play, that that's who they're targeting with this, and it sucks.
Yeah. But although, so I would say, like, if let's say they do hypothetically have a starter pack, shark card, blah blah blah, which will probably happen. Hey man, you give us private servers, do all the shark cards you want, and then I'll just play. I'll play in my own server at my own pace. You know, so.
Yeah, the only way to combat that is to not spend the money on that. And the problem is that
people will spend the money on it.
People are going to. And it's and because it's the people that they're targeting for this are going to spend the money on. It's the same with like FIFA cards and shit. Like, I'm never going to buy that stuff, you know, but there are people that will, you know.
And look, like, I know we've talked about it in other games before. Like, we all have jobs that can be very stressful. We all have, you know, a modicum of expendable money that we want to spend on our hobbies and make us happy. And it's like, you know, I don't want to judge anybody if that's what you want to spend your money on. What bothers me what bothers all of us is when it's like it lessens my experience, because now I have to deal with you with this shit. It's like, if you want to get it, by all means, get it. But leave me alone. Like, let me do my thing. So.
Like Adam said earlier, like, what can you do against a kid whose mom is like, you want that? You can buy this shark card and get $8 million. And then it's just like, what can I do against that? When
doesn't have a job.
I'm trying my best.
I know how I'd be if I was 15 years old and
disposable
money.
I would put it
in a video game and buy something that's overpowered. Hell yeah.
Money's not real.
I know exactly how I'd act if I had the ability to get the most overpowered thing in the game at that time.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. 100%.
Hell yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, still looking forward to it.
I have so little faith in
Take I know. Two. I know. You hate Take Two. You hate Bethesda. We know, man. We know. You've been very, very vocal about that the past oddly, couple of years.
Oddly enough, I have all the confidence that, like, because of Red Dead 2 and like the detail and how much I do enjoy that story, I'm not as worried about that. At yes. least the campaign. I am more worried yes. about online.
Yeah.
That. I'm hoping it's more Rockstar say than Take Two.
Yeah.
Not that that's like tremendously better by any means, but I do feel that Rockstar is more for their audience than Take Two, you know, but
feels like there's more care.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the detail we've gotten, that it takes a whole lot of care to put that time and energy into it.
Cuz I think if Rockstar was in charge of like the remastered or whatever they called it for the GTA the
3, yeah.
Yeah. I feel if Rockstar fully was part of that from the beginning and did it and it wasn't contracted, it might have had problems for sure, but like I don't not nearly as much as it did. How, maybe that's me being too hopeful. I don't know.
How much crunch do you think is going to go into 6?
See, a ton. Yeah,
I'm sure. Dude, I'm
and sure that's what I don't care
sorry,
for.
Sorry, yeah. You're like Rockstar cares.
Don't take my words and say that Rockstar is like the god of publishers. You know, that's not what I'm saying. Like, but I don't know. We don't know, man. We'll see. I think that's why they probably didn't want to give it like a release date for so long too, because like yeah. if you put a release date on something, then it's like
you're forced at that to point. Have to start working.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. and that's why I know Bethesda, you guys like shit on them, but like when the Fallout 4 release, I thought was still the most perfect of a release, because
definitely
like,
the most stable.
People yeah. knew they were working on that for so long. And they knew it was coming. Well, kind of. They had the inkling that it was coming. But, like, yeah. they didn't announce it until that 1E3. And then they're like, oh, and by the way, it's out in 5 months.
Yeah. Right.
You know? And I think that's perfect. I thought that was so perfect.
It's the best way to do it. Because then, I mean, yeah it's
mm-hmm.
best for consumer and worker.
Yeah. Because, like, just like Cyberpunk is the opposite of that,
yep.
where they had the date on it and they pushed it and seen all those like yellow fucking yep. messages every so often. Ugh. Like it's not ready. And then even when it did come out, it was shit.
Wasn't ready, right?
You know, and it's like you guys shouldn't have put a date on it until you're ready.
Right. And they were terrified to push it back again.
Because I mean they're subsidized by the government, Polish government. So like that's yeah. it's, they really can't fuck around mm-hmm. yep. too much, but like
yeah.
It's. I'm wondering how much better it could have been had they not had to worry about PS, like you know previous generations.
Yeah.
If they had just fully gone full commit to like the PS5, next gen. X, yep. Series X, S, like, I mean, X really because S has its own bunch of issues which we talked about last episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I wonder how much more, like. I don't know.
Yeah,
not necessarily stable, but like a much smoother launch.
It would have been better.
I think it would have been better.
For sure.
Performance-wise,
I think it would have been better. Bugs and stuff. But I just think it was so... Their development cycle for the game is so long that when they first started, they're like, yeah, we're going to be on this system. And then they're like, oh, and now the next gen, so we're going to definitely be on there.
Oh, then and then there's another gen.
And then they should have been like, oh, we're not going to support these ones anymore. You know? And it's just like, ugh. I mean, that's what they did with the DLC. Obviously, they just they were like, "Nope, you are not. We're not going to have this on."
And they were,
and you can feel it.
Better position to say that too.
Yeah, but like as you've played it, right, Chris? Like you can feel that it was like
so much
dedicated
better.
Just to the next gen. You're like, "Oh God, look at all the stuff we're doing."
So much better.
Yeah,
like if 2.0 could have been the 1.0.
Oh,
yeah.
I think in their heart, in the developers' hearts,
that's what they wanted
the game to be.
I would definitely agree with that. But with all the previous generation, what they had to develop it for three different generations of consoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, That's what I'm saying. Like the developer, the people that are actively making the game, not the decision makers necessarily. No. They that's what they wanted that game to be, because I think Alana had said it in one of her recent videos, was like a game developer doesn't want to release a bad game. They don't.
No.
They don't want that. It's sometimes it's out of their control.
Right.
Unless they're the day working before, on a day it, before yeah. or whatever that game was.
That, yeah, well, maybe a little bit, but maybe I should say triple A or quad A or now
quad A if you're Penta
A or whatever it is now.
Yeah. Quanta.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. I wouldn't want to be I wouldn't want to work in the video game industry right now as it is, let alone be a developer for that shit.
Each week brings new rounds of layoffs.
Oh my god. Yeah.
See, where I would be like, Chris, I wish that you would be the type of person that would work in that industry, because I think there's plenty of people like you that do work in the industry, but like actually have a passion and care for the games and what you would actually be working on. It's like it's always board but again, members and the shareholders.
Is like that, I would have to be a decision maker, but even if I was a decision maker, I'm at the mercy of shareholders.
Yep,
I'm at whoever gets the money, you know, and it's if they're
whoever
like,
cause
like
your paycheck.
Yeah, like we just talked about, I think the last episode with the Star Wars, you know, Battlefront Remastered Collection, the shareholders are like, we did so great. Look at that money coming in. But those that are played the game,
yeah,
journalists, all this stuff, paying like, attention. This game fucking sucks. What are you guys doing?
Yeah,
this game is so buggy. You guys stole resources from a mod, all this stuff. But the shareholders, they don't give a shit about that, because
it's all about they made margin, money. Baby.
They made that money. It's a shame. We're literally turning into fucking cyberpunk, like corporate lifestyle and corporations running things. I mean, don't even get me started on the healthcare industry. I do know the healthcare industry, as you guys do too. So,
God, dude, I read something on Reddit just the other day. We were talking about somebody was talking about playing cyberpunk and how they were like, for some reason, in most games, I have no problem, you know, to go on the evil route or making evil, quote unquote, evil choices to just, you know, maybe in the first playthrough, it's just to see how the game reacts. And they were like, for some reason, I feel like I have to make good choices in Cyberpunk because it's so desolate and the city is just so bad that it's actually an aversion, or that to actually be the good person. Like, that's the odd choice in this world. It's like, I feel that when you've played the game. It's just, it's a fucked up place. When you really dig into it, it's really bad. I love that game so much.
It is. I felt bad. And here's the thing. Like, I even thought about this morning when I was playing a mission while you were watching Fallout. Like, there's that one where you had, like, the talking vending machine that kind of becomes sentient.
Brendan?
Yeah. And
yeah.
I finished that story and then you go back to the girl and I chose the wrong dialogue where basically I basically told her, like, it's a robot, get the fuck over it. And yeah. She left upset and I felt so bad. I'm like, no, I wanted to support you and now I said the wrong thing. And
felt bad to this NPC.
NPC, this computer code.
And her robot friend, Brendan. That's funny. Ugh. The schism machine.
Schism.
There was a studio yesterday that suddenly, to kind of go back to like layoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, surprise, surprise, another studio did a bunch of huge layoffs. But they're called Possibility Space. You guys heard about that?
Yeah, I think, this is what I was kind of alluding to as well. So
it was just yesterday. And like, they haven't developed anything and they hadn't announced what they were going to develop. So like, there's literally nothing on the company, but their CEO in the middle of a all hands meeting, like shut off access to everybody and laid everybody off, which is normally how that goes. But I'm trying to find out, there was a weird twist to it where it was like, she blamed consumers. She blamed an employee for leaking information to Kotaku, and Kotaku hadn't even published anything about it yet.
Yeah. There was a leak of like what was said. And the funny part too also is that the company was founded by Annie DeLizzi Strain and her husband Jeff Strain. And Jeff is the one who's, I believe, put the message out there to the employees. But what's funny is that she, on a social media platform weeks ago when like all the big layoffs are happening, was like blaming, it's like the only people that have to blame are the companies for bad budgeting, bad time management, all this kind of stuff. And it's Well, what, you just shut down a studio just now, huh?
Well, you know, there. It's you can't be a CEO without putting your foot in your mouth at some point.
Yeah, but yeah. He fully blamed the freaking the leak, and it's just like, dude, what? Because like people found out what the game was going to be, and they're like, that's not going to do well, and they're like, well, they said it's not going to do well, so we have to shut it down now. It's like, what?
That was a weird one.
Like, what? Guys, no, you're going to probably shut down the whole time. This is not an excuse for reviews. I'm leaning that one. Video game industry is so... It's a bubble. It's going to burst. I don't know when, but...
I keep seeing more and more people like, I think we need to just like... have that bubble burst and go back to the dark ages of video games for a little bit and reset.
Yeah, because what was the... I mean, obviously, we know like the 1984 video game crash.
It's been on. It's been rising ever since then.
Yeah, I was trying to think if there was ever another time.
I don't even think it's plateaued.
Yeah.
No.
Well, because you look at these like these crazy budgets, you know, of games where like, okay, it's like Dead Space, by the way, recently.
Yeah, not getting two.
We're not getting two, which they never officially said two was coming out or anything, but like
they wanted to do a new one, didn't they?
I don't know if they want to do like a new Dead Space game or a new IP. I can't remember. Or they wanted to make another Dead Space, but not it be two like their own thing. If that's what you mean, that's possible.
Like I think they didn't want to remaster two. They wanted to do another iteration of Dead Space.
And it's like, well, it didn't do well, but it's like it sold more in its months, its almost year, than the original Dead Space did in its lifetime.
Actually sold. Yeah.
But the problem is that because games cost so much. $200+ million to create and develop. Like even Spider-Man 2, I think I read somewhere that it's like, oh, the numbers were kind of disappointing. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Did that not do gangbusters? Like, I don't know. I think, Adam, you're right. I think like we need that bubble to burst because give me quality over like how like graphics or anything. Like I'd rather have a game like Hades or Celeste or.
It's just the like how many people are gonna lose their jobs now, but like just to reset everything to make it better for the future. It's a weird balance.
Yeah, it sucks.
Not even a balance. I don't know what to call it. Ugh, messy.
Yeah, video games are it was like, I don't know when it was in the past decade where your money making capitalist scumbags were like, this is where we can get the money. Look how much money they're making. Let's get in there. And then ever since then, it's just been like, what is happening?
I mean, I think that's just
capitalism, baby.
That's the world at large at this point.
But I felt like video games is just like that like, because people just looked at video games as like, oh no, this stupid kids thing, you know. But then they finally realized the
amount of money,
the capability it has in it, and the stories you could tell, and what that can be done from that. I blame Naughty Dog. It was fucking Last of Us 2013,
God of War 2018. Stop making such good stories, guys.
God, I blame EA as well.
I mean, the amount of games I used to buy versus the last 5 years, I mean, it's because it's because of all the inflated prices it takes to, like, produce a game nowadays, like, or at least, like, a AAA or quadruple A, again, if you're nasty. It hits us on the consumer end of everything, which makes sense because, you know, when you just think about it, that makes sense. But like, I literally won't. I stop buying stuff as much now.
I think like Rebirth, I obviously bought, but I think before that, the only game I had bought like right away was probably Spider-Man. So yeah, I don't buy games as often as I used to, for sure. Cause even Last of Us 2, like they did the update to it. I didn't buy it.
I haven't bought it.
I still haven't bought it.
No. I would want to play it again, but like, I don't want it. You know. Valhalla was free, which is awesome. I didn't buy that, you know.
Like the last new game I bought was Spider-Man, and that was last month.
Yeah. Then you platinumed it.
I was looking at there's a spring sale for PlayStation right now, and I was looking through it, and I was like, none of this is
none of them.
stuff Taught I would want.
Either. Nope.
Like, the next game I'm really waiting for a sale for is Alan Wake 2.
Yep.
Yeah, and I bought that on Epic on a bundle. You got, like, the first game remastered, Alan Wake 2. There was a discount code. I got it for, like, I got Alan Wake 1 remastered, Alan Wake 2, and it was, like, $40.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I don't.
And I was like, perfect.
I don't want to pay $70.
Right.
I paid $70 for Spider-Man months after it was out.
Yeah. I've been waiting for, like, Gran Turismo 7 to go on sale, just because, like, that's another game I want to play, but I don't want to pay full price for it.
At least with probably, you know, the Star Wars Outlaws game coming out, Adam, you know, it's Ubisoft, so give it 2 months. Yeah. And it'd be half off.
At most 2 months.
Yeah.
And it's like, you see articles like, Ubisoft isn't doing that well. I wonder why, you guys.
Jeez. Here's a $130 collector's edition that comes with nothing physical. Money, please.
Money, please.
Like, Jesus Christ, Ubisoft. Fucking hell. And the thing is, like, that looks like a pretty good unique story tied around some things we know. But, like, you know, I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do with it.
I don't know if you've seen the discourse of, like, people, like, bashing on the main character, and it's just so stupid.
That's the same fucking circle trick that's been happening for the last two decades.
It's so stupid.
Kira's in it.
What's happening?
Oh, just little manlets complaining about the look of the new main character for Outlaws.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
They want it to be, like, a busty, voluptuous woman. It's like, dude, that's... No.
Some motherfucker did the same thing for the Lucy and Fallout TV series. Like,
an AI. Yeah, he did, like, an AI. Like, this poster, she looks... Her ass is a little flat. I use this and boosted it up. It's like...
Just lots of needle dick energy all around.
What's wrong with you? Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's part... Most of it, I'm pretty sure, is just to cut... Like, it's rage bait to get clicks.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, especially with Twitter.
Interactions, sure. Like, any interaction, like,
yep.
Boosts you so much. So, like, that's where most of this bullshit is coming from nowadays. But, you know, yeah, the one that I don't agree with the sentiment, but I do agree with in principle is, Why change Peter and Mary Jane's character models? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I still don't understand it either.
But yeah, this Outlaws one is just...
That's an ugly main character. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like, it's Star Wars.
I'm a staunch believer, and I've said it before, of, like, I wish they didn't change Peter's character model.
Same.
You know? Like, because he was he was so unique, and now the motherfucker just looks like a generic Tom Holland. It's like, I loved his model before. He was such a unique character. He had his face had personality.
He was his own Peter Parker in his own universe. Yeah. Yep. Looked like he'd been doing it for 6 or 8 years.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked a little tired. He looked a little like...
I was more used to it in the second game. But
Yeah, same.
Still. I'm upset.
No, I'm there with you, man. If I want to play, and I gotta, like, go get my physical copy of Spider-Man first, if I ever want to see him again.
See, I mean, the digital,
you can, so I can uninstall and then reinstall it.
Turn my internet off so it doesn't update or whatever.
Right, exactly. There's my boy.
There he is.
There's my man, my Peter. The power of the sun in the palm of my hand. Anyway, we had this whole thing that we were going to talk about, Fallout show, and everything. Yeah. We're at an hour.
It's the only thing we had on the docket.
Literally the only thing.
We just shot the shit.
I'm two episodes in. It's amazing. Go watch it if you can.
Yeah. Okay. I'm 6 episodes in, and it's fucking... I'm a huge Fallout fan, and it's amazing.
I'm one. I enjoyed the first episode.
And then April 25th, we have a next-gen update, finally.
Yes.
For Fallout 4, which we've... How many years have we been asking for this? Since PS5 came out?
For a while. But I think they announced it last year at some point. But yeah, then it was like fucking crickets for so long. Well, they had to do like Redfall. And,
Is that the same team, though?
I don't know.
I don't know. Todd Howard was busy planning the show with Jonathan Nolan when and to their credit.
I was saying that's the case. Yeah,
it's worked out. Cool. It's worked
because
out
because they're doing pretty well with that. I'd say.
I think so.
It's Fallout. It's Fallout as fuck. Is all.
If you know Fallout, you're gonna love the show. If you don't know Fallout, there's enough there to probably keep you.
I would think so.
It has Walton Goggins in it. Like he is probably one of my favorite actors.
God, he steals every scene.
He had said, you guys might have saw this, but he's like. He was in a recent podcast. I don't know which one, but he asked him like how they prepared for the role. And he goes, he's like, my son is a big Bethesda fan. He's like, he's a big Elder Scrolls fan. And I was like, kudos. He knows what these games are. That's awesome. I love that shit. And then he's like, but I didn't play. I refused to play the games. And I told them that, you know, because like Jonathan Nolan and the writers are huge Fallout fans, which I love that too.
So he just trusts them.
You know, yeah. he's like, I trust you guys know that, but like, I think you guys need somebody with eyes that has no bias, who has no, like, you know, say in that. Because there's people shitting on some things in it. And I don't know what exactly, because I'm trying to avoid spoilers. But, like, I just heard, like, grumbles of, like, well, they didn't do this, or they're retconning this. It's like, and then, but, like, the original creator of Fallout was like, let them, they're doing great. And they're taking creative liberties. Let them fucking do that.
Let them cook.
Let them cook. Exactly. That's what the kids are saying.
I remember before, like, when the first trailer stuff came out, people were complaining about hit Walton Goggins' character just simply because he's a ghoul. And that's not a spoiler, it's in the fucking trailer. He's a ghoul, and, like, he's the... Progressively since 3, they've been making ghouls less, like, little mutant zombie-type things who have a conscience to... more of a person who just has a skin deformity.
Well,
which
oh, sorry, go ahead.
I can see. Oh no. I mean, I was just. I can see both sides of that, but like, it's fucking. I mean, who cares? Honestly.
Keep watching the show.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's all I could say.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I mean, like, even show aside from like 3, New Vegas. And 4, they're getting, you know, like, Hancock is much less of a ghoul than the ghouls were in 3.
Yeah, ghouls in 3, even the ones that were talking, were like, holy shit.
Yeah, like...
But then you got to, like, Hancock and 4, and it's like, I mean, like, yeah, you're a little deformed for sure, but, like, you're... It's not that bad.
Just another person in the wasteland.
Seems to be all right.
Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, I can see where people are coming from a little bit, but not enough to...
The same.
Make the show bad, because again, it's Walton Goggins. You gotta let him just do his thing. He's gonna be great.
Yeah, he crushes it 100%.
And honestly, the very beginning, the opening prologue, I guess you want to call it, for the show, like, man, that was fucking terrifying.
Yeah,
just thinking of like the enormity of it all, like, oh shit. God.
Is it your thumb or my thumb?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, oh, God.
They do. I'm afraid to say. I think I really am. Baby's okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, like in the beginning of 4, you had like the pre-war stuff. And like they never, what I recall at least, if any fall, they've never really gone to show anything pre-war.
They had not, no.
And I think they do a good balance.
So the whole actual like first half of the first episode reminds me of a combination of 3 and 4 for many different reasons, but like pre-war stuff and then like how the Vault Dweller gets started, like, is a combination of 3 and 4. And I love it.
Yeah, it's so good. I'm really excited to finish it up.
And Todd Howard has already said they're not doing an Elder Scrolls show, so
I'm okay with that, I think.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Those ones is massive. There's already it's a pretty saturated market for like fantasy shows and stuff too. Like Fallout's such a unique thing, you know. So, but I'm glad that they're like video game media.
Have you guys seen Silo?
No, I've heard it's great though.
Yeah, that's very Fallout-y, in a good way.
How are you guys doing with Severance?
I haven't started yet. I'm waiting for...
Me neither.
I'm in Shogun. Like, I'm all in on Shogun.
Okay. Severance is hella
good. Once that's over, then I'm going to have time.
Severance hella good.
X-Men 97's got its fucking hooks in me hard.
Is Severance 20-minute show or 30-minute show?
Oh, it's an hour show, for sure.
Okay, so yeah, then I'm doing X-Men next, because those are
20 minutes. Yes, X-Men you can catch up pretty quick.
Yeah. All right, we are at an hour.
Tweet corner! We only have one from Mr. Jeff Allegedly, at Allegedly Jeff. So thank you, Jeffrey. What he would like to know is, at CGR Podcast, if Shania Twain's That Don't Impress Me Much, it's a song, was written in 2024, what are some of the things that would impress her? Hashtag Tweet Corner.
Brad Pitt still wouldn't impress her much.
Yeah, probably. It'd be like, for me, it'd be like, oh, you have a Bored Ape Yacht NFT. That don't impress me much.
Fuck. That's it. Shit.
You paid for Twitter Blue?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got a blue check mark on Twitter.
Before he gave it to everyone to make up for his stupid fucking mistake.
And then also he's talking about, like, we're getting rid of bots. Oh, so you're going back to 4 years ago. More bots. Okay, thank you.
So more bots is what's happening.
Yeah, you tell me you own a Tesla.
You own a Cybertruck? That
don't impress me much. Yeah, I own the Cybertruck.
Yeah, for real.
Do you see the video that, like, the trunk just closing on that, like, carrot?
No.
Oh, my God. What? So, they do these things where, like, if you have your fingers, like, inside the trunk and the trunk's going to close. Like, it's an thing. Auto. Yeah, it's like an auto close feature.
Like a garage door?
Yeah. And they showed on all these other vehicles, like, it might crunch a little and then it, like, auto opens. And the Cybertruck just closed and snapped the carrot in half. And you're like, ugh.
Oh, be careful.
Awesome. That thing's going to cut somebody's fingers off.
It's probably happened, but they just don't want to say anything and piss off Daddy Elon.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gentleman who we used to do Destiny raids with who owns a Cybertruck.
Really?
Jared, he does. No, not him.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah, I was like, did we also raid with him?
You raided with him one time. Good night, Myron.
Oh,
I'm still friends with him on PlayStation. He's still on my friends list.
I think he might still be on mine too.
He's on mine too. He does. I don't think he plays games as often anymore.
Oh my God! One of my favorite raids. Good night, Myron.
You know what? The Cybertruck thing makes sense.
Now it does.
He's a really cool guy, though, outside of that.
It'll
always be a memory of mine.
Hey, and look, everybody knows, you get into the middle of the raid, frustrations happen.
Things get intense, bro.
Look, that was, I've seen people leave much angrier.
That's true. That was a very peaceful exit.
And it really was.
I was being a little elitist, but, like, I'm sorry.
You were pushing his buttons a little.
Bro wasn't doing his assignment, okay? Bro wasn't doing his job.
We eventually got it done.
We did.
Had to call on some reinforcements. But we got it.
Oh.
But that's it. That's all the tweets we had.
Thank you, Jeffrey. If you, dear listeners, have something on your mind and you think we should take a stab at answering, send it our way, Facebook or Twitter, at CGY Podcast. Use the hashtag TweetCorner. And we will answer it to the best of our ability on the following episode's recording. It's to spread the word. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell everyone in your Twitch chat. Hey, come on by. Come get your podcast. It's out there everywhere you can get your podcast at. From Podbean to fucking iTunes, Spotify, you name it. We are most likely there at this point. But as always, we end every episode with a shower thought from Twitter. And this week's comes from user Writer Lad, and they say, technically, anyone who's had sex in Denver is part of the Mile High Club. And that is going to do it for episode 174.
That's true.
Of Come Here Podcast. I've been your host, Adam.
I've been Dustin.
I've been Chris.
That John Denver's full of shit.